One question Kansas City Mayor Sly James often hears from residents, why can't you help improve schools? The answer isn't a simple one, but now the mayor's office is looking at a new way to empower the parents of school-aged children through a new program. In other cities, the Parent Leadership Training Institute has helped parents do everything from track legislation affecting schools to enabling them to develop new programs aimed at fathers or finding new ways to welcome kids back to school each fall. Mayor James is keen on this program, and he's here today to talk about it, along with the founder of the Parent Leadership Training Institute. Mayor, again, good to have you here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Elaine Zimmerman is founder of the Parent Leadership Training Institute and is executive director of the Connecticut Commission on Children. Elaine, what a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here.
Also in our studios is a woman who went through the Institute's training and a mother who is the immediate past chair of Friends of Hale Cook, who led the effort to restart Hale Cook Elementary School. I'll bring them into our conversation in just a few minutes. Mayor, why are you interested in the Parent Leadership Training Institute?
Well, I will tell you the first reason that I'm interested in it is because a person that I trust implicitly on these types of issues, Julie Holland, our education advisor, has been very keen on the concept of parent engagement, parent training. And we know that in schools where parents are highly engaged and energized, students do better and the schools function better. So what we're trying to do with this whole process is to make sure the parents have the tools to engage outside agencies, build partnerships, advocate for their children, because they're the ones who spend the most time with their children and know what they need. Last point I'll make before passing it on is that, you know, there's not a lobbying effort for kids. And kids are the ones most affected by some of the things that adults do. We need parents to be their advocates, and this is a way for us to help try to provide them with tools, access information, insights that they can use in order to advocate for their children.
So where are you, Mayor, with the Institute? Have you signed a contract? Are you exploring the idea? Where do we stand?
Well, the Institute is here. People are gathered today to go through some early preliminary discussions. There will be some meetings and smaller groups, but we are wanting to go full steam ahead with the whole process because we can never start early enough to get parents engaged in what's happening with their children, whether in school or out. A lot of the parents that go through this process become leaders in other ways, and we can never have enough leaders in this city.
So we're still in the exploratory phase, if I understand you correctly.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Elaine, don't parents already feel empowered when it comes to their kids? Because I know a lot of parents that when you bring up the subject of their kids, they get energized very, very quickly.
Absolutely. But parents are not encouraged to lead in community or in public policy. They're encouraged to lead in their homes. And when they lead outside, they don't often receive an open door. And also, they don't have the skills that one might think they have. So what the Parent Leadership Training Institute does is teaches parents what is public policy, how to look at data, how to know if your school is working, how to think through what you feel is not working or perhaps is working really well, so you want to grow it.
So this is a different level of engagement than most parents might be familiar with.
I would say that this is a very high expectation for parents to learn all the skills that they wish to learn. We designed the Parent Leadership Training Institute based on parents saying what they wanted to learn across class, culture, and language. And we built a school that teaches parents how change occurs for children across this country, and then with a very focused attention to how change might occur in different cities, different states. It's all actually streamlined for specific towns. And parents become leaders. They learn to not use anger, but to use data and to use outcomes. And this particular initiative works for parents, whether they finished third grade, whether they speak another language, or whether they have three PhDs.
What's wrong with anger?
Nothing's wrong with anger. What does happen, though, is that those who lead in schools and in other agencies are very afraid of angry parents. And they may act as if they're listening, but they are not, because what they want is they want the angry parents out the door. And so what we have learned is what anybody knows, which is how do you behave so you can be optimally heard? And how do you behave so you can really authentically partner? And what we've discovered is if we help understand what someone's angry about or what a group of people are angry about, what isn't working, if we analyze what needs to change, if we deconstruct it and understand the policy issues, what the problems are, what the remedies are, if we've got all our data in hand across the board, across this country, when parents present, they can affect real successful change.
That's how to be effective, you're saying.
Yes.
Have your ducks in a row is what you're suggesting.
Yes, and we have learned that we have stopped in this country sharing how change happens. We're just all focused on fixing families and talking about something wrong with families. It gets very racialized. It gets very broken out by class and race and culture. And what we've seen is that parents actually are quite willing to come together across difference to improve things for their children. And they are quite willing, when it feels safe and when it's truly dignified, to take every risk and to learn skills and practice them.
Mayor, are you talking about the Parent Leadership Training Institute for the Kansas City, Missouri School District or all the school districts in Kansas City? What's sort of the objective here, the aim?
Well, the aim is to reach as many parents as possible.
Wherever they live.
Yeah. Regardless, because what we want is you know me, Steve. I don't like lines that we use to divide people up.
Mm-hmm.
So why use them here? We want every parent who has the means and the desire to have access to this sort of skill training so that they can be effective. Because the more we have out there, the easier it will be for a movement to actually start.
So Julie Holland brought this idea to you, or did you come across it some other way? Or
you know what? Julie Holland brings me a lot of ideas. she's like a golden retriever. Every time I turn around, she's bringing me a good bone.
Yeah. And it just connected with you as soon as you heard it, Mayor, or how did it work for you?
You know, having worked with Julie for a long period of time now, we have kind of a mutual understanding of some of the things that we want to see. And we've talked over the period of a couple of years about the need to do something with parents, parental engagement. We understand the value of parental engagement in schools. This is a program that will enhance that engagement, but also takes it outside of the school boundaries. It takes it out into the community. And again, it builds leadership, and Lord knows we can use more leaders, particularly when it comes to policy issues and political issues. We need more leadership, and parents are leaders, and we want to give them the tools to be great leaders.
Elaine, I'm guessing that the mayor would agree with this, that in the Kansas City, Missouri School District, the district that's gotten the lion's share of attention in our neck of the woods out here, that there are some parents who aren't engaged with their kids who need to be. And I'm wondering, does your program reach out to those individuals, or how do you approach that issue, getting parents involved who aren't involved now but perhaps need to be?
Well, so what we have found is that most parents want the best for their child. And when they actually believe that there's a program or an opportunity for them to improve things, they're all there. So it is not so difficult to reach parents who want to lead for children. And what happens is when parents do something for their own child, what happens is they start caring about other children too. And then they go from caring about my child to my neighborhood, to my community, to my city. It happens almost like a fire. Mm-hmm. There's something that happens very quickly where the community comes together.
Steve, I think that, frankly, it's like a lot of programs. You need that first group of pioneers,
mm-hmm.
and then you need to turn them into evangelists so that they go out and say to others, we did this. We had great results. Look what's been accomplished. Come join us, and more people will be out there.
Yeah,
I think that there are some parents that simply, it's not a matter of not being engaged. Some of them simply can't be engaged. They're too busy trying to live
mm-hmm.
and make a living and support their kids and feed their kids. Maybe if we show them that this process works for them, it will enhance their ability to do that better even.
Yeah, is there just a broader societal issue you're looking at here, Elaine, this notion that, you know, broadly speaking across so many boundaries in this country, engagement by the citizenry in Mayor James City, in different school districts across the country has just sort of been lost, that politics, for example, is a contact sport, is an engagement activity, and too many folks just sit back and don't engage, and you're trying to change that here.
Absolutely. You hit it on the nail. I think that what's really happened is that parents are marginalized and not treated as a constituency, and they are not expected to lead for children. parents are the one constituency in this country that have been sort of replaced by agency and government.
That's interesting.
You hear people complain quite frequently, we couldn't bring parents, parents wouldn't come. But actually, parents have been pushed out over the last few decades, I think because of race and class and demographics. And what's odd to me is that why aren't people saying where are the parents or what happened or how did the voice of the family get pushed out? So that's one social problem, I think, Steve. And we are testing how to bring parents back in. Huh. And really, frankly, it's very easy to bring parents back in. The harder thing is helping agencies partner with parents and understand that parents actually are their deepest assets.
Tell me about the Parent Leadership Training Institute, Elaine, in terms of how many cities are you located in right now? Give me some broader context for how enmeshed you are across the country.
Sure. Well, we started in Connecticut, started in Hartford, Connecticut.
Where you
is,
are.
Yeah, which mm-hmm. is the second poorest city of its size in the country. Brownsville, Texas is first.
How did it work there in a poorer community like that?
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. It started there. Actually, when we designed it, it was a 10-week initiative with a retreat. And people were derisive and said parents wouldn't come. And we had
about what Mayor James just said. Yeah. Parents are just, a lot of parents are just busy trying to survive. And
yeah.
when
well,
you're poor, that's what you're about.
Sure.
You know?
We had a waiting list. We had more
really?
Parents wanting to come. We held it in the evening because that's when parents could come if they were working. Some couldn't come if they're working night shift, but a lot of parents who work during the day could come. We provided child care. We held it at a hospital that offered us the space. And so the children came. We had quality child care. Everybody ate at the cafeteria. It was free. And then we met and the children had fun. And there was also free parking and transportation was taken care of. Nobody dropped out. And at the end of the several months, the parents in Hartford said, "This is not long enough. Nobody gives us this information. This was dignified. This was not racist. We learned so much. We want this to be longer." And from my perspective, it was the parents in Hartford who moved this from a 10-week to a 20-week initiative.
I was going to say, we're not talking about just some little program where you drop by on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
This is a serious commitment
this
here.
This is essentially, to your earlier point and question, this is a democracy school for parents that teaches parents how change happens for children and how they can lead, and helps parents talk about what is and is not happening in their community, really understands that parents across class and education level can together solve problems and helps that happen. And frankly, at this point, we're in where we're all over the country. There's over 7,000 graduates. Australia's just taken the model in Queensland. It just launched in Queensland this weekend. Same point, though, to yours, Steve, which was that Queensland leaders in government reflected that they just didn't have families participating as a constituency. And then they selected this model. So I think this is about democracy. It's about the fact that parents have been pushed out. And then what happens? I mean, the outcomes are 90% of the graduates work across difference.
Meaning?
Meaning that they become comfortable working with someone who has a different skin color than they do,
mm-hmm.
or a different language, or a different education level, because we're all so segregated. They become comfortable because there's a very quick community that happens in this particular initiative. 9% start voting for the first time. There's an increase of between 50 and 75% in understanding of how a city works, how to affect change, how to mediate, how to negotiate, how to take a problem, deconstruct it, and then work forward from that. There's very strong peer-to-peer change where there's a development that's a horizontal development of the group together
mm-hmm.
becoming the change agent. You know, we're a country where we service families, but we don't partner with them. And this is trying to change that whole dynamic and get back to civics and move forward with civics and cut all this derisive fixing the family out.
How many other cities are you in right now, Elaine?
We're in 17 states. And so we're in Miami, we're in New Orleans, we're in Seattle, we're in Hawaii, we're in California.
Mayor, the level of interest here, again, this 20-week training class, as I looked through the curriculum last night, it really bowled me over. I mean, again, we're talking about a serious commitment here. What's your sense of how Kansas City would take to this program and how many folks you think would commit to something like this?
I think that Kansas City has a very active group of parents, a very strong group of people who want exactly what this program offers. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be highly successful here, to be quite honest with you. I think that in just with our work with schools, we know that something is wanted and needed, but there's not been a program to fill that gap, and I think this program does.
This hour, we're talking about the Parent Leadership Training Institute, a new way to engage parents, educate them in terms of new ways to help their kids navigate through the education world. We're visiting with Kansas City Mayor Sly James. Elaine Zimmerman's here. She's the founder of the Parent Leadership Training Institute. I want to bring in Benita Cochran now. She's a New Orleans parent who's gone through this program, has committed 20 weeks to go through the Parent Leadership Training Institute. Benita, welcome. So good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
What are you doing here from New Orleans? How did you get dragged into this? Yeah.
Coming to speak about my experience with PLTI.
Okay.
Which was a phenomenal experience.
Tell me about that. 20 weeks. What were you hesitant to engage in something that would make that serious of a commitment of your time?
Initially, yes,
yeah.
Because I'm a widower. I have two children.
So a single mom.
Yes, I'm a single mother. So thinking about a 20-week commitment when I have to juggle school, homework, life issues.
How old are your kids?
I have a 14-year-old and an 8-year-old.
Oh, you're loaded up pretty good right now, aren't you?
Exactly. So when the opportunity first was presented to me, I wasn't sure if I could handle it or, you know, like how I'd be able to juggle everything. However, PLTI makes it easy because they do provide childcare, they do provide homework assistance,
and a place. You didn't have an excuse, in other words.
But they make it easy.
Yeah.
I decided that because I was interested and I wasn't sure what I could bring to the table, that I would give it an opportunity to at least come to see what it was about.
And so if you weren't sure what you'd bring to the table, why were you willing to do it?
Because as a parent, we all have something that we want for our children. And though I was unsure what I could bring to the table, I knew there was something that I wanted different for my children. Though at that time I could not identify it. I didn't understand my piece in the puzzle. However, just that hope that maybe I could bring something to the table made me more interested in finding out more about the program.
So what did you learn? Why'd you stay with it?
I think what I learned is something that Miss Elaine spoke on, which is we as parents, we're not included in the conversation.
Ah.
So we're expected to make it happen. So if our children misbehave, how our children are great, their grades, and just anything across the city, we're the ones that are responsible. But we're out of the conversation. So once you're given the tools on how to engage on a civic level or community level with different people in the community, it kind of changes the landscape.
That's
as a parent. And it doesn't matter what your income is. It doesn't matter what type of education you have. You still are given those tools that you're able to effectively speak in terms of letting individuals know what we need. Mm-hmm. And it's not always about your child. It's about children in general. So, I mean, I was one of those individuals that came with the notion of my child.
Mm-hmm.
And it quickly developed into every child in the city of New Orleans and globally.
So this notion of engagement and how to engage with public officials and to express your own point of view, that was sort of a series of hazy concepts you didn't really quite grasp. Do I have that right?
That, I mean, it's to a certain extent. It was more so how do I get my voice into the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not invited.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have an idea or a viewpoint in it. I mean, it could be in terms of school administration. How do I get my voice in the conversation where I'm actually being heard?
Huh. What were some of the topics as you went through these 20 weeks? Do you recall the focal points of different weeks' sessions?
Yes. So probably like week 3 or 4, I'm not sure. But we had a session where we questioned what is the community? what is our community? Because we as individuals automatically think that our community means our family unit.
Hmm.
And the community is much more than that. So
learning to take your concerns beyond just what's going on inside your own house.
Or just learning to see yourself beyond your home.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not be something that is completely concrete. In other words, we as human beings, we are always attracted to things that are normal to us,
mm-hmm.
What is safe to us. But going through PLTI, it gives us a platform where we're willing to go out and go into environments that may be foreign to us, experience things that are foreign to us.
Such as?
So if you take education, it can become very class or race, very divided by race.
Mm-hmm.
But PLTI provides those individuals that may have not had an experience with someone from another race, except for their teacher. And it may not have been a great experience, but coming through PLTI, it gives you the voice or it gives you the tools that you're not looking at this person as you don't understand me at all.
Mm-hmm. You get past that.
Right. You get past that and you actually see the similarities.
Mm-hmm. What else did you learn?
We learned about how to speak.
You're doing very well, by the way.
Thank you so much.
You got that part down.
PLTI assisted in that because, again, I make it very clear that when I came to the class, I was a whisper.
Yeah.
And by the end, I got my voice.
Yeah. Our producer is looking through the windows thinking, we have found a new host for Up to Date here, and it sure ain't me. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Did you go to all 20 sessions?
I missed one class, and
yeah.
I was very upset about it. My daughter was sick, so I missed one class. But
mm-hmm.
Leading into it, I wasn't sure if I was going to actually be able to commit to all the classes. But once I got into the sessions and the topics that we covered and how it was even within the topics, we did breakout sessions where we talked as groups and there was a facilitator. And it was like we were working in units. You became hungry for it.
Mm.
So I couldn't wait. Our classes were on Tuesday nights. I couldn't wait to attend because I knew that I was going to be infused with this knowledge and these tools that were going to help me, not only me, but other parents at my children's schools.
Just from watching the videos last night, I know some parents took on some very specific projects as a result of going through the training. What have you focused on since you've gone through the training?
Okay, my project with PLTI, or what I was interested in, is the One App. So New Orleans has...
The what again?
It's called the One App.
The One App.
Yes.
Okay.
So New Orleans is a predominant charter schooled. So most of our schools are charter school. So there was an idea that we should go to... So with each charter school, they had a different application process or an admittance process. So they decided to go to One App.
Ah.
And within the One App is a very simple application. You have 8 choices. So you list 1 to 8 your choices. The information is put in to the computer. And then based on an algorithm,
mm-hmm.
your choice, one of your choices is you're given one of your choices.
So you changed the whole application process for the schools in New Orleans then?
Well, they made that decision that they were going to go to One App because
mm-hmm.
they felt like it would make it easier for parents to have a choice and you know, facilitate the choice for their parents to pick a school. Then with that, there was a decision for any child from six weeks to fourth grade that any daycare facility that received federal money or state money, that they would put them under the One App as well.
Ah.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you're talking about your six-week-old child, and a computer deciding
mm-hmm.
where your child is going to go, the water gets kind of murky. So my project is just to assist parents with providing them tools and how to look at the process, what is the best way to look at it. So most people, because there's 8 choices, they'll just choose 2 because I only know of 2 schools that I definitely want my child to go. But when we're talking about algorithms, it's better to choose all 8. Identify 8 schools, and it increases your chance of you getting your first choice and providing tools. So because it is a scary process. And if perchance your child does not get into the daycare facility that you're looking at.
Right.
Because a child, a daycare center, just like a school, can say that they have, I don't know, 25 slots. However, that's at the beginning, but they haven't taken into account siblings that may have first tier priority. Or
so your work was it changing this application process?
No, just assisting the parent navigate the process.
Okay.
I mean, the process is in place. It's
helping them get through it.
Yeah, it's pretty much set in stone.
I think they need some help based on how you're describing this thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Elaine, what else have other graduates done to, what projects have they taken on to begin to affect the educational process?
Well, so one parent in Wyoming went to visit her brother in a trailer park and realized that there was no playground, there was no place for the children to play. So she, with other parents, sold food for a year and raised enough money to build a playground in the trailer park. So, and actually there was a groundbreaking and legislators came, and then the next thing you know, she was invited to work at the legislature, which is an ancillary response to something you asked earlier, which is that what we've learned that we weren't expecting is that when parents begin to lead in community, not just at home, they begin to find their place in jobs, in civic engagement, in policy change in a way that isn't expected. So there was one parent in Hartford who learned about city ordinances. And there was a school closed down, and the parents were pretty concerned about various choices about where they were to send their children next. And she went to City Hall and represented the parents and said that she thought that perhaps some of the decisions were out of compliance because she'd learned city law.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, the superintendent was so impressed with her presentation. She was bilingual. He hired her to become the parent navigator for the entire school system. So what you see is that so parents' projects end up focusing on health, safety, learning, and poverty reduction.
Man, one man was talking about helping, reaching out to fathers to help them be better fathers,
I think. Yeah. So lots of dads are working on bringing dads in and making sure that dads have opportunity and address the opportunity gap for the fathers. So what you see is you see both moms and dads and grandparents and aunties, because it's not just for parents, it's for whoever's raising the child. They begin to be involved. I would say about 30% are focused on health issues, public health issues. 40% are interested in education. About 20% are interested in what you might consider economic development and community development. Some people in Connecticut, some people are now in the legislature who never would have been their elected officials.
Right.
Some sit on policy bodies and are improving public policy. Others have sort of sliced and looked at something and improved it. So rather than creating a new program, which we don't really need in this day with fiscal crisis that we're in, but addressing what might be missing pieces. So improving access to books that are in a particular language, helping the people run the program understand a culture differently.
That's interesting.
Arranging hours so that more parents can access what is offered. Becoming the broker or the messenger the same way that you're hearing Benita was, so that parents have a better understanding, because the truth is sometimes people who are leading in government don't necessarily know how to translate it in a way that is useful for parents.
I want to bring in Sarah Darmitzel now. She's a Kansas City parent and immediate past chair of Friends of Hale Cook. She led the effort to restart the Hale Cook Elementary School and has a son in the kindergarten class. Sarah, good morning. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you're an example of a parent who already is active and productive in the education sphere. What do you make of this Parent Leadership Training Institute model?
I think it sounds fascinating. I think it sounds like what we as Friends of Hale Cook is, a lot of the pieces of it sound like what we kind of learned piecemeal through our efforts.
You stumbled through it. Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
And we would love to be able to teach what we have learned to many other people in Kansas City. But quite honestly, we're all parents and we're limited in what we can do and how far we can reach. And
what skills do you think that a lot of parents are lacking as they go about trying to impact schools and impact the education system?
I think they're lacking the empowerment,
how to go about doing all this, right?
Yeah, and the confidence that their voice will be heard, that they will actually be a collaborative partner in their efforts, and whenever they voice the concern, that it'll actually go somewhere.
As you went about restarting Hail Cook, what was the toughest part for you?
You know, there were naysayers for quite a while that questioned our efforts and what our whether it was really the best thing for the city and the school district. But at the heart, I always felt like it was. Even if some people may not think so right now, I felt like in the long term, this could have a ripple effect across the city that we couldn't quite picture now or say how it's going to play out, but that we were re-engaging a population and a large portion of the city who had been disengaged from education.
And it's the empowerment aspect you're saying, Sarah, that was really lacking for a lot of parents, just how to begin to engage the system.
I think so, and do it positively. I think there was a lot of negativity around.
Elaine's used that word, positive.
Yes.
Yeah. That's key here.
Very key.
Mm-hmm. And why is it so important?
Because there's a lot of negative history in Kansas City around education, and people quickly get their emotions tied up, and the emotions start blocking them from being able to work collaboratively.
Yeah. Well, Mary, if parents listen to this conversation, want to get involved and learn more about the Parent Leadership Training Institute, what do they do? What's next steps here?
Well, one thing that they can do is, and I see Julie over here squinting, but they can always call our office at 513-3500. Julie can certainly hook them up with what needs to be done and get that information to them. I do want to say to Sarah that I applaud and I have always applauded the Hail Cook effort. It is exactly what we were hoping for, to have parents who got so engaged about their kids' education in the KCPS district that they actually opened a school and worked with the school district to get it done. It showed others it could be done. And I think if there's no better tribute than imitation, and look what's happening now with other schools, other parents wanting to engage in that same way. So congratulations on a great effort.
We're going to have to leave our conversation there. I want to thank Mayor James for coming in. As always, Bonita Cochran from New Orleans, Sarah Darmitzel, who came here from Hail Cook and her experience there, Elaine Zimmerman, the founder of the Parent Leadership Training Institute. Thanks for a very interesting conversation. Appreciate it very much.
Steve, Bonita's bringing gumbo the next time.
What's wrong with this time?
Well, she didn't bring any, and if she had, I would have eaten it before you saw it.
I suspect that's probably right, too.